All right, well, we are going to continue this morning talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say the Holy Spirit, is God. And the Holy Spirit wants to fellowship with me. And that's really what we have been talking about over the past several weeks, is that the Holy Spirit wants to fellowship with us. Why is that significant? Why is that important? You know, I've gotten older in life, my priorities and really what I want out of life has changed over the years, right? When you're young, you have these dreams, you have ambitions, you have goals, right? You have things that you want to do, things that you want to experience. And then as you get older, the more and more you experience, the more you realize all of those things don't really satisfy. And I've discovered that as I have gotten older, that really it has come down to one thing and one thing only, that my primary goal and really what I strive for is to maintain a love for Jesus. I really do believe that loving Jesus is the single greatest accomplishment any of us can have in this lifetime. And that we would finish more in love with Jesus at the end than when we first started. Okay? And so that really is the goal, that as we walk through life, as we go through the rest of this year, maybe just through this summer, is it your goal to be more in love with Jesus, or are you just going through the motions? Because sometimes we get caught up in that, even though some of the motions might be good, right? Maybe you're here today because you're going through the motions, because it's your routine, because it's a part of your discipline. And how many of you know discipline can be good? But it becomes extra powerful when we give our full attention to him. Amen. Anybody, maybe some of you, I'm working on this. I'm trying to be a little bit more active. All my kids can laugh at that. I was practicing with Samantha yesterday, or I played basketball with my son, Isaac, but a couple days ago. Everybody's like, did you forget your kid's name? I was trying to remember the day. I'm with you. I don't remember what day of the week it is. And so I was playing basketball, kind of tweaked my knee, and then I was playing with Sam, and I kind of tweaked my back, and I'm just like, what on earth? Like, you know, like everything is just hurting, right? But I'm trying to be more active. I'm trying to be proactive, right? To maintain my body so that I can continue to serve the Lord and be with my family and love everybody. Okay. Well, there are times where I'll work out, and you guys know the difference, right? Where you show up and you just go through the motions, right? And maybe you're lifting weights and you're kind of just doing it and you're just not into it. And then there's those other times where you might be really into it. You got the good playlist, you're motivated, you're feeling the burn and you're enjoying it, right? And it produces very different results. There is something that happens when we allow ourselves to be intentional with the Lord, where we really remove the distractions and say, Lord, this is for you. And our goal as believers is to live in such a way that we fall more in love with Jesus, that we give him our attention, that we don't go through the motions, but that we are very intentional about the yielding to the process that the Holy Spirit has us in. Because how many of you know it is the Holy Spirit that works in us to see him in the first place? How many of you know without the Holy Spirit, you actually can't even see Jesus correctly, right? You might think you know God. You might think you know what is right. But then the more you follow the Lord and the more you spend time with him in his word, the Holy Spirit starts to speak to you and you're like, man, I don't want to do that. Right? I don't want to, you know, turn the other cheek when someone hits me, you know, in the face. I don't want to, you know, love my enemy or pray for my enemy. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit leads us through life as we fellowship with him, and the Holy Spirit helps us to become more like Jesus. Somebody say amen. And so that's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about why it's important to fellowship with him, to live life with him. And I want to start in Galatians chapter 5 and look at verse 22 this morning. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 22. And, you know, some of you are on your phones with your Bible, and you're going to get there faster than me. Here we go. Galatians 5:22. And you, if you don't have your Bibles, you can follow along on screen. I want to read this out of the Word this morning. 5:22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, everybody say the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Listen to this. The fruit of the Spirit. Notice it says the fruit, not the fruits, right? Everybody say the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, right? That's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we fellowship with the Holy Spirit correctly, these are the things that are present, right? So when you come into places like this, and maybe we're worshiping the Lord, there is, you might come and you might just sense there is this peace, right? There is this joy, there is this liberty or this freedom. How many of you know that is the fruit of the Spirit? That is the work of the Spirit. And when we fellowship with the Spirit, when we walk with Him and we grow in our relationship and communion with Him, these things become more evident in our life. That is why you can literally go through life and not be anxious. Did you know that? Scripture says, be anxious for nothing. Well, how do you do that? Be filled with the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit, in the Spirit, the fruit is joy, peace, patience. You guys with me? And so these things are present when we walk with Him. And we don't generate that fruit. The Holy Spirit does the work. So our job isn't to be like, oh, I'm going to, you know what? My goal this year is to be more kind. How many of you know that's really difficult to do unless you're filled with the Spirit, right? You might be kind for a few minutes, but then all of a sudden, you know, maybe your roommate or a sibling is using the bathroom when you want to use it, right? It doesn't last very long. But when the Holy Spirit is working in you, these things come to pass. How can believers, Jesus said, love your enemy. How can believers do that? Be filled with the Spirit, and out of that comes love. Does that make sense? We're not faking it. It's not a fake it till you make it. It's not be kind in front of everybody, but then behind closed doors, you're just angry, you're stubborn. No, this is a genuine work of the Spirit. Amen. Now listen to John 15, verse 1-4. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, I am the true vine. Everybody say the true vine. How many of you know there are a lot of other vines in this world that you can tether yourself to? There's a lot of options and sources that you can say, I am going to put all my hope in this. I'm going to put all my eggs in this. And it's not the Lord. Maybe the Lord is something you do on Sunday, but every other day, you know, I'm doing this. It's about this. There's a lot of vine options, but notice Jesus says, I am the true vine. Everybody say true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. So we see here Jesus saying, listen, fruit, this fruit should be evident in your life. If you're walking with Jesus, these fruits should be evident. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, okay? These things should be evident. And Jesus says, if you're not bearing fruit, it'll be taken away. That's intimidating. That's tough scripture. Tough scripture Tuesday. Okay. Every branch that bears fruit, however, how many of you would say, I want to bear fruit, right? I don't want to be taken away. I want to bear some fruit. Notice what he does. Every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. So the Holy Spirit has an agenda for your life to make you more like Jesus. And what does that look like? It is this fruit. That as you fellowship with the Holy Spirit, these things start to come about. Jesus says in verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. And so the words here that Jesus is using, that you may be clean, that you may be pruned, they are actually the same word. It is the word to clean. It is the word to prune. and that Jesus is the one who is doing this. And the way that you are clean, the way that you are pruned, Jesus says, is my word. How many of you know that when we spend time in his word, when we receive his word, when we come in and we hear his word does something in us that causes us to live differently, right? What is that? That's that pruning, right? That you're not going to talk to your spouse the way you did the day before. Why? Because I've received the word of the Lord and I'm to honor my spouse. I'm to honor this marriage, right? And so the word of God is meant to be challenging to us. The word is meant to be challenging. There are times where you will be in the word and you'll be reading the word and you'll be like, I don't know if I can live that way. I don't know if I can do that. His word is meant to bring us to the end of our own ability, to the end of our own capabilities, and to the end of our own will. And how many of you know, if you read the word long enough, you'll discover he's speaking to me, right? Eventually, and by the way, his word is always speaking, amen. In the spirit, his word is always rhema, which means the Lord speaks to us. The primary way that God speaks to us is through his word. And so you might be reading through the word and all of a sudden, maybe you've even read that passage before, but you know, oh, he's speaking to me. This is for me. And you can't avoid the word that God has spoken to you. When God reveals something to you, maybe he's asked you to do something. You can't distract God and just try to avoid it. How many of you know God is more patient than you are? He has he can outweigh you. He can out, no. There is a work that he wants to accomplish in you. And when he tells us to do things, all he wants is our yes, okay? And if we don't give him our yes, we get stuck. We don't grow. We can't move forward. And so because we don't say yes, we get stuck and the Lord won't allow us to move any further until we give him our yes. And God will not move until we give him our yes. And so his word is meant to challenge us. It prunes us. It cuts off the dead branches of self. Everybody say self. Listen to verse 4. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. Sometimes I think we hear the word abide and we think it means visit. That's not what Jesus was intending. Jesus never intended for us to visit him. Jesus doesn't make his home with people that are just curious about him. Jesus makes his home with people who diligently seek him. Right? That's why scripture says he is a rewarder of those who what? Who diligently seek him. You know, you may be here today, and by the way, if you're here today, praise God. I believe that the Holy Spirit brought you here. It's a miracle that you are here and God has a word for you. But my encouragement to every person here would be, don't allow yourself just to be curious. Diligently seek him. Actually choose that, you know what, this isn't about just, you know, is this real? No, I believe this is real. And because I believe that he is, I believe that he died on the cross. I believe that he rose again. I believe that I have life in him forever. Because I believe, I am choosing to walk with him. I'm choosing to abide with him. Everybody say abide. And so the word abide means to live in, to remain in, to stay with. It's not just an occasional visit. You know, we all like the promises of God, right? Anybody like Psalm 91, right? That's gotta be some of our favorites, right? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the under the shadow of the Almighty. I will fear no evil, right? Because the Lord is there, because it's a promise of protection. We love the promises of protection, but it's promised to those who abide. And sometimes we get frustrated with the Lord, like, Lord, why did you let this happen to me? Anybody? Like, why didn't it happen to so-and-so? I'm a good person, right? I'm a Christian. Why are bad things happening to me and not to them? How come my life doesn't seem to be blessed, but they seem to be doing okay? How many of you know there is a reward that comes when we abide? See, we got to know what the promises actually are saying. Bad things happen. We run into situations and we say, God, let me stub my toe. Well, the question is are you just visiting Jesus or are you actually with him? You see, the promises of God are not meant to be experienced apart from him. Somebody say amen. So many Christians, they want the promises, but they don't really want him. They just want the blessing. They want the favor. They want the protection. They want the healing. But as soon as they get those things, oftentimes they just go their own way. And it exposes in our heart what our true intention was. It's what he can give us. It's not who he is. It's not him. Do you see the difference? So Jesus is saying, abide in me, live in me. As the branch cannot bear fruit. Everybody say fruit again. You are the branch. You cannot bear fruit. Listen, what good is a fruit tree if it doesn't bear fruit? Anybody? What do? You cut it down, you burn it, right? You get rid of it. We're meant to bear fruit. And Jesus is saying, listen, you cannot bear fruit. Notice, unless it abides in the vine. Unless you abide, neither can you unless you abide in me. Okay, so go back to Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Everybody say love. Love. So let me ask you this. Let's put this together now. Everybody's with me? Okay, good. How do we experience the love of the Spirit? By abiding with the Spirit. When we abide with him, we experience the love. Amen? And so that is the way we live in the fruit of the Spirit. We don't create the fruit of the Spirit. We allow him to do the work, but it only happens through abiding. And the love of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. So think about this. Outside of the Spirit, you have no love to actually offer God. The only way that we can actually love God is through the Spirit. John says it this way, we love him because he first loved us. And so John is saying, I am simply giving back to him what he's first given to me. The reason we can love him, the reason we can say yes to him, the reason why you're here today and hearing more about him and growing and deepening your faith with him, the reason is because he first loved us. Somebody say amen. That's why the greatest commandment must always fuel the great commission. We oftentimes tell people, go, 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 right? The great commission is go into all the world, preach the gospel, right? How many of you know Jesus never actually called it the great commission? And if we really do call it a commission, which it is a great commission, by the way, can we all agree? It is. It's important that we go. It's important that we preach the gospel. It's important that we go and make disciples, that we tell our families about Jesus, that we invite them to church, that we give them an opportunity to hear the good news, right? That is important. But how many of you know it really isn't a commission? It should be a co-mission. That when we go out with him. Why? Because we abide with him. Amen. You can do nothing of yourself. I will tell you this, the most significant moments of ministry that I've ever had, they don't happen on a stage. They usually happen in a one-on-one conversation where because I've been walking with the Spirit and I hear someone share, this is what I'm going through. This is my heartbreak. This is what I'm facing in life. I hear that. And because I'm full with the Spirit, I have a heart of compassion that loves them, that sees them, that has compassion on them. And when I hear it, I allow the Holy Spirit to speak into their life. How many of you know, I believe that those, when you get to heaven, we're going to have these crowns and there's going to be jewels on those crowns. And I bet you most of those moments aren't going to be in front of a crowd. Those moments are usually going to be when we just had simple obedience, walking with the Lord and loving other people. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And so we cannot love God until we first experience his love. And the way that we experience his love is through abiding. Amen. The love of the Spirit happens. We experience it when we abide with him. Ephesians 4:3 says this, endeavoring. Ephesians 4:3. Does somebody have that? Can somebody, I deleted it off my notes. Ephesians 4:3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's read that together. Ready, go. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How many of you know the Spirit is a bond? Amen? Amen. If we do not have Christian unity, there can be no move of the Spirit. The Spirit flows in an atmosphere of unity. When the Holy Spirit and his presence become the priority, everything starts to matter, including the way we treat people. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I get hurt or when I get offended, there is something in me that doesn't necessarily want to mend the relationship right away. Anybody else? Because the flesh likes revenge. The flesh likes to make people feel something. But if you want to learn how to forgive quickly or how to apologize quickly, learn to steward the presence of the Holy Spirit. If you have a forgiveness issue, you probably have a Holy Spirit issue. Because when we encounter the Holy Spirit in such a way where we are abiding with him, when we abide with him, what happens? We experience the love of God. We grow in our relationship with him, right? But when we have unforgiveness in our hearts towards people, that unity is affected and we're no longer encountering God the same way. Does anybody ever feel like there's a little bit of a block? We're not hearing the same. We're not, when we come into the presence of the Lord, we're not experiencing him in the same way, right? And there are times where I walk with the Lord where I have to actually ask the Lord, Lord, is there something in me that I have withheld from somebody else? Is there unforgiveness in my heart? Is there anger in my heart? Is there things that I have spoken? Is there things that I have said? That's why David said, search me, God. Right? Why? Because something has shifted. You see, when we know what it's like to abide with the Spirit, we won't settle for compromises that lead us out of the presence of the Spirit. Does that make sense? The presence of the Holy Spirit, it's addicting. When you taste of it, you want more of it, right? You want more of him. You want more of his presence, more of what he has. And so when there's things that are happening in us that are causing disunity, what are the things that cause disunity most? Well, one is unforgiveness. Another one is gossip. And another one is complaining. These are all things that are considered evil in the sight of the Lord. They are not from him, and he takes no part in them. And when we allow them, we become out of alignment with the Spirit. And because we can't walk in the Spirit, we don't experience his presence the same way. This is so important because Jesus said it this way. He says, if you come to the altar of the Lord, but you have something against your brother. By the way, the altar of the Lord at that time for the Jewish people was the most holy place. Okay? And people would travel weeks to go to the altar to bring an offering and a sacrifice to the Lord. This was the most holy moment for Jewish people at that time. And Jesus said, listen, if you go to the altar and you're there, you spent your weekly wages buying a sacrifice that you were going to give to the priest to offer on your behalf, and you spent all that time, you spent all that money, and you come to the altar and you remember, oh, I've been angry at my brother. Jesus says, don't do it. Go all the way back and make it right. Do you realize what Jesus was asking? He was saying, you just spent all that time, all those resources, go back and make it right. And then once you have made it right, then come to me and make sacrifice. Do we see how important this is to the Lord? that there is nothing in us that would cause us to be out of alignment, out of his spirit. So it says endeavoring, meaning being diligent to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. Listen to James chapter 4, verse 5. It says, or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? We're talking about the love of the spirit. Who is he? Who is the jealous one? Everybody say the Father. He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. How many of you know that is what he wants most? He wants most to be in communion and in fellowship with us. Amen. That's why when we receive communion, that's why that's such a holy moment, because that's what Jesus paid for, that we could have that deep intimacy, that deep communion with him. And he jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. How many of you know this scripture is all about love? Everybody say love. We have the Holy Spirit in us. How many of you know that was given to us as a gift by, right? The Holy Spirit was given to the church as a gift. And the Holy Spirit is in us, and the Father jealously desires the communion between our spirit and the Holy Spirit. Even though the Trinity is three in one, right? They're all God. There is this desire that the Father has to be one with us. And the Holy Spirit is so close. When you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes on the inside. And there is this becoming of one where your spirit, which was dead before but now is alive, and the Holy Spirit are one. And there is this desire that God has for that. That the Father has for that. And the Father has gifted the church with his spirit, and now the Father is jealously desiring that which he has given to the Spirit. And so we have been filled with the Holy Spirit, and listen, and now we are caught up in the affection of God. We're caught up in the affection and the heart of God. So yes, the Holy Spirit loves us, but the Holy Spirit also loves the Father, and he loves Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit comes on the inside, we are caught up in this wave of love. Amen? This wave of love. We are caught up in all of this. That's why Paul says, I press on toward the upward call in Christ Jesus. It's so interesting because that means this: forward in God is always up toward God. The only way to move forward in God is for our hearts to first go up to God. Amen. And so this is all about intimacy. It's all about love. And the move of the Spirit in us causes us to start beaming with his love. And we are caught up in the very affections of the Lord himself. We're talking about the love of the Spirit. The way that we experience the love of the Spirit is by abiding with him, which is what he's always wanted. Amen. Everybody say this. Say, the Holy Spirit wants me to walk in deep friendship, in deep love, in deep connection, and in deep affection with him. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand together. You know, scripture talks about how the Father loves you with the same love that he loves Jesus. Isn't that amazing? The way the Father loves Jesus is the same way that he loves you. And when we consider this, when we think about this, when Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I send you. How do you think the Father sent Jesus? Do you think he sent Jesus with a command saying, go fix this, like a boss? Or do you think the Father sent Jesus with love and affection in his heart? And it is with that same affection, it's with that same love that God wants us to experience that kind of deep love, that kind of deep affection. And we see it even in the sending of Jesus. Even the sending of Jesus, it is all wrapped up in intimacy and love. Listen, if you get one thing out of today, it is this. God wants nothing more than to have an intimate and deep relationship with you. And it happens like this. Just yield to him. Even when you don't understand why he wants it a certain way. Anybody ever read anything in scripture and you're like, why is God like that? Anybody? Be honest. It's okay. Why did God say that? Why did God do it that way? I don't know if I like that. How many of you know that's a heart issue, but our heart is being transformed. Amen. And if we will yield to his process, if we will yield to him, we start to see his ways. We start to know his heart. And it's in that deep affection, that deep intimacy, where we continually say yes to him, meaning I don't know why I need to do it according to scripture, but I'm going to choose to do it anyways, right? We talked a couple of weeks ago about how the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? Meaning when I choose to do it his way, it is the beginning of wisdom. It means when I do it his way, I'm making the right choice. When I do it his way, I can't go wrong. Why? Because I'm honoring him. And when we begin to honor him, when we begin to live how he instructs us to live, we begin to experience his love and we are changed into his image. So yield to him. Can we do that right now? Let's just close our eyes. Say, Lord, I yield to you. I yield to your process. And I choose to abide with you, to spend time in your word, to spend time in your presence. Help me and change me to become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we just thank the Lord this morning? We're going to dismiss in just a moment. Don't leave just yet. If you are here, I'm going to invite the prayer team to come up. You guys can come up right now. If you are here and you need prayer for anything, if there you need healing in your body, if there's things that are concerning your heart or brokenness, let us pray for you. We would love to pray for you. If you are here and you want to be baptized and you have not been baptized, we would love to do that with you next week. How many of you are excited for water baptisms? Isn't that the best service? It's always my favorite. Okay. We're going to do that next week, and it's going to be a celebration. We're going to have food afterwards as a celebration. There will probably be some family here and some friends, and that's going to be a wonderful time. Can we welcome them and be kind and just be ready to receive what the Lord's going to do? It's going to be wonderful. And then I feel like there was one more thing. If you need prayer, if you want to be baptized, whatever. We love you guys. We love you. We're so glad you're here. Before you're dismissed, be sure to give somebody some love. Be sure to say hi to someone maybe you haven't already seen, but you are dismissed. Go ahead.